good to see everybody out with us tonight, especially if you're visiting with us. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you are uplifted and encouraged by joining us in worship this evening. I have been uplifted and encouraged as we sung songs of praises to our God. The title of the sermon this evening comes from a psalm, and we'll get to that psalm in a few moments, but the title is, He Who Keeps You Will Not Slumber. You ever come to the end of the night? It's a good time in your life. There's no problems. There's nothing you see on the horizon. You've had a good day. You've worked hard. You come to the end of that day. It's bedtime. You're exhausted. The kind of exhaustion that comes from just being productive all day long, and you've got the pajamas on, and you might look over at your spouse and say, this is my favorite time of the day. You're going to lay your head down, you're going to sleep, and it's just going to be so very sweet, and you know it. And you have other times where you come to that point, but there is something on the horizon. You come to that point and there is something weighing so heavily on your mind that you know going into it, this isn't going to be a restful evening. And I'm going to do the very best that I can to trust God, to put all of my faith in God. And I'm going to do the very best that I can not to be filled with anxiety at this point. But you know, it's going to be easier said than done. And I suspect we've all had those nights where there's just not much sleeping that's occurring. Maybe we know the next day or the week, we're going to get that call from the doctor's office. We're going to hear the results of that test. And things weren't looking good when the test was taken. Or things aren't going well at all at work. We know there's a meeting coming up the next day, and the prospects for that meeting are not looking good at all. And in fact, it's going to be, we're pretty certain, very unpleasant, maybe even life-altering. You see, it's nights like that, times like that, that we come to the evening when we're typically laying our head down to go to sleep. And we come to that point not with peace, not with comfort, not with surety. We come to that point with a degree of uncertainty. And it's difficult for us to sleep. And then there are others who come to that point, and just the uncertainty of sleep itself, of what's going to be going on around them. What's going to be going on in their house? What's going to be going on in the neighborhood? What's going to be going on in the world while they're blissfully sleeping? We just have no idea, do we? And sometimes it can be a very small thing. You wake up in the morning, the dog got your shoe. And the dog ate your shoe during the night. You had no idea that was happening. But other times you wake up in the morning, you turn on the news, and there were some momentous events occurring. Perhaps in your neighborhood, in your city, even in the world, you had no idea they were happening when you laid your head on that pillow. There have been many, many mornings for many, many people that have arisen and they learned firsthand when they woke up that morning just how uncertain things that typically we view as very certain, just how uncertain they were. They learned firsthand the uncertainty of health. They learned firsthand the uncertainty of wealth. Sometimes they learned firsthand the uncertainty of national security. How many people over the years went to bed one evening of one country and woke up the next morning belonging to a conqueror, belonging to another? And so when you view it from that perspective, you might ask, well then, this is kind of a frightening prospect. Because it's a reminder of just how little we actually control. And how little control really is in our hands. So is there anything anything at all, we can be certain of from night to morning. Well, here's the thing. For the unbeliever, no, not really. Right? Not really. They can't even be certain there is going to be a morning. They have no idea what the next day is going to be like. But I want to tell you this. There are certainties for the child of God. And no circumstance of life will ever change them or make them less certain. And I want us to consider three of them in the sermon this evening. Every morning, the faithful child of God wakes. They wake to a God who has not been sleeping. In Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, we read this. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, in the psalm, the original psalm, that was written about God's old covenant people. But here we are, under the new covenant. And do you know what we are? Under the new covenant, what saints are? We are the Israel of God. And there is every bit as much an application to you and I now as there was to them at that time. And what an incredible statement this is. He who keeps you will not slumber. How many times over the years, those who are parents probably have more experience with this than others. But how many times you have that child or that spouse who's just not feeling well and they're sick and they're up all throughout the night and you resolve, you know what, because they feel so poorly and they have to be up just because their health kit's not going to let them sleep. And you feel bad for them and you love them and you want to comfort them. You want to have empathy with them. And so you decide, you know what, I'm going to stay up with them tonight. And I'm just going to be awake and whenever they need something, I'm going to be right there and I'm going to go get that thing for them and I'm going to care for them and I'm going to help them all throughout the night. And that's your resolution. That's what you're going to do. And then you pass out. You didn't mean to. But you just nod off. And you fall asleep. Think of all of the disasters that have occurred from the beginning of time when those who should have stayed awake fell asleep. In Isaiah 56 and verse 10, God is talking to the spiritual leaders, the watchmen of His people. And He says this, His watchmen are blind. They are without knowledge. They are all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. Imagine if you set the one whose job it is to watch over the city, to watch over the person, to watch over whatever it is. It is that person's duty to keep an eye on them, to protect them throughout the night. And that person loves to slumber. That person doesn't want to do anything other than go to sleep. Well, you've chosen the wrong watchman, haven't you? You've chosen a person who's not qualified for that job. We have a watchman. We have one who's watching over us. Yes, we have government officials, Brother David prayed about them in his prayer a few moments ago. We have people in our lives who are here to watch over us. And that's their role. That's their position. But eventually, every single one of them is going to have to go to sleep. Eventually, every single one of them is going to slumber. And they're not going to be focused upon us. And they're not going to be watching us. God is. And when we talk about the creator of the universe, the one who loved us to such an extent that he sent his son to provide the sacrifice that makes our salvation possible, this is what we know about him. Sleep never closes his eyes. There is never a time when our God's eyes are growing heavy, when he's so weary, he's so exhausted that he can't watch over us anymore. Even those of us who have people we love dearly, we love more than anything. Even those of us who have sat at a hospital bed watching over that one we love so much, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's another family member. And we may go a night or two, maybe even three nights, and we don't sleep. And we're watching over them, but eventually that fourth night comes. Or that fifth night comes, and our body just shuts down, and we have to sleep. It doesn't matter how much we love those people. We have to sleep. But the one who loves us to such an extent that he offered the greatest sacrifice, he doesn't have that shortcoming. He doesn't have occasions where he's just got to cool off for a while. He's got to throttle down and he's got to go get some sleep. It never happens with him. He's always watching. And what awesome, awesome encouragement and security that leads to. In Psalm 11 and verse 4, we read this: the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of men. And in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. There is never a time, beloved, when that is not true. We take security, don't we, in knowing that there are so many who are concerned with our well-being. We take comfort and we take security in knowing that there's a night shift in the police department, right? There's a night shift in the fire department. There's a night shift in the hospitals. We take great comfort from that. We take great security in that. But even those night shifts, those folks get tired. Those folks wear down. And there may even be times when they are not as vigilant as they ought to be just because of their weariness. But not our God. Not the one who created it all and holds it all within his hand. He never sleeps. What awesome comfort that provides the saint. We go on. Every morning the faithful saint wakes up. He or she wakes up to a God who is not grouchy, but gracious. In Psalm chapter 5, or the fifth psalm, I should say, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says: give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Excuse me. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. In the 90th Psalm, in verse 14, we read this: satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let me ask you something. You ever get annoyed in the morning? You feel like somebody is calling upon you a little too early. Are you one of those people who wakes up in the morning and when your spouse or children talks to you, you respond with a growl or a grunt? You got to wake up, right? You got to get going. We have a sign up on our wall in our kitchen. It just says, "But first, coffee." You know, and it's just, you got to get yourself going, right? You're not quite ready first thing in the morning. I want you to look with me, if you will. Now, this is actually late at night, but we're going to see somebody and the way that they reacted in something Jesus told at an inconvenient time. Luke chapter 11. Turn your Bibles there with me, if you will. Luke 11
verses 5 through 8. And what Jesus is doing here is teaching us a lesson about God. It's a wonderful lesson. But it's interesting how he gets to it. So let's look at Luke 11, beginning in verse 5. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence," and some translations put there his persistence, "he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Have you ever had a time when you were like that individual and somebody called upon you at a time you considered inconvenient? And your first inclination was, "Leave me alone. Look at the clock. Why are you calling me now? Why are you contacting me now? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Or it's 12:30 or 12 at night. I mean, why are you contacting me at this time? It's just not convenient for me and I don't want to do anything for you. But you won't leave me alone, so I guess I'll do whatever it is you want me to do." You ever have times like that? Those inconvenient times when you've been called upon? You got to take a few minutes. You got to wake up. You got to get yourself going. You got to take that cup of coffee. You got to do whatever it is you do to get rolling in the morning. Maybe it's going to take you a half hour, an hour, before you're really even fit to be conversed with. Here's the thing about our God. He doesn't need that time in the morning to get going. He doesn't need that time in the morning to warm up. Come back to Luke 11. Let's see the point that Jesus is driving towards. Verses 9 and 10. "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open." And so we have one of those evenings, beloved, where something is weighing on the mind. Something is keeping us awake. And we roll over and we look at the clock, or we look at our watch, or we pick up our phone, and it says 2:30 in the morning. And we know we're not going to get to sleep. And the anxiety is just coursing through our bodies. Our mind is racing and it will not stop. And so we bow our heads, we close our eyes, and we talk to God. We wouldn't think of picking up the phone at that time and calling one of our brothers or sisters in Christ. We would think to ourselves, "Well, I'm going to be bothering them and they're sleeping, and I would feel like I'm selfish if I called them to talk at this time, and they might be upset with me. They don't want to hear from somebody at this early in the morning." But we're going to go to God. And at 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, God is there. And God doesn't just have an ear available. God is anxious to hear from us. God has been waiting for us to take whatever that thing is that is filling us with such anxiety. He has been waiting for us to take it and give it to Him. Put it before His throne. Tell Him about it. Ask for help. And if we do it at 2:30 in the morning and then it becomes 3 and we need to do it again, He says, "Come back. Do it again." And we need to come back at 3:30, then come back at 3:30. And we need to be there at 4, then come back at 4. God is available and He is not grouchy. He is not irritable. He is not resentful that we're coming to Him at that time. He is gracious, loving, ready to take those anxieties, asking us to cast them upon Him because He cares for us. Isn't our God awesome?
That's the God that we serve. And I want to tell you, beloved, and I hope you understand this. We're going to look at Psalm 33 and verse 18 and Psalm 34 and verse 15. And I want you to understand they are every bit as true in the early a.m., every bit as true in the late p.m., as they are at noon. This is what they say. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. And He's never going to be resentful. He's never going to be irritable. He's never going to get frustrated with us when we come to Him in the early hours of the morning or the late hours of the day. He is available. He is willing. He is glad. That's our gracious God. And what a privilege it is that we can call Him ours. One more point that I want to bring up. Every morning, the faithful child of God wakes to a God who has not forgotten their trials. In Psalm 6 and verse 6, we read this, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. You know, not all of his life was like that. Not the entirety of his life was spent that way. But he had his seasons of sorrow, didn't he? He had his seasons of difficulty, his seasons of pain, where the night was spent in tears. God knew all about it. Over in Psalm 30 and verse 5, for His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We love one another. We love one another deeply. We have some people that we need to pray for. We just heard about Brother Gary this evening. And no doubt, when Brother Ron announced that and read that note, many of us right then and there said a prayer for Brother Gary. A lot more prayers are going to be said for him. A lot of prayers have been said for Jim. A lot of prayers have been said for Karen, for Edith, for Rhonda. And then there are times when we may not remember all the names, so we might just say to God, and any whose name I am forgetting, you know who they are. Father, be with them and heal them. We love one another, so we think about one another. We focus upon the things that we're each going through. We try to be there, encourage one another, but we don't always do that flawlessly, do we? Because we all have circumstances in our own lives that come up from time to time, and no doubt you've had moments just as I have where you had intended to give brother or sister so-and-so a phone call or stop by and visit. Something came up. You were tugged in a different direction, and maybe you even forgot. Maybe you've even had days where so much has been occurring that you don't even think that day about the circumstances, the difficult circumstances that your brothers and sisters are going through. Maybe day goes by, and you might have even heard that week that somebody's got a diagnosis they're waiting to receive, and yet, just because so much is happening, forgot about that for one day. I didn't even think about them that day. We don't do it because we don't love, we don't care. We do it because of our own limitations, don't we? But our God isn't bound by those limitations. And here's the wonderful thing. When difficulties do arise, even if no brother or sister at the congregation remembers us at all, and not one says a prayer. And what a rare, if non-existent, issue that is, if the brethren know what's happening.
But there may become times when that does occur, just because everyone's got things going on. Even if it happens, our God knows. Our God knows it all. You see, God knows exactly what you are experiencing right now. If you're going through pain, God knows you're going through pain. If you're anxious because you're waiting for that diagnosis, God knows all about that. If work is weighing on you, family circumstances are weighing on you, church trouble is weighing on you, God knows that. Even if everyone else has forgotten, God hasn't. He knows and He cares. In 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." And here's the wonderful thing, beloved. Our God never, ever forgets us. There's never a time when God has forgotten about the situation and the circumstance of His faithful children. When other matters are so weighing upon Him and other things are requiring His attention, and He just forgets all about us and has no idea what we're experiencing, it doesn't happen. There's an extraordinary passage found in Isaiah 49 and verse 15. God is talking about Zion. He's talking about the remnant of His people. And in verse 14, the remnant of Zion cries out that they've been forgotten by God. God says, "No. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb?" Ah, beloved, look at the day and age in which we live. Can that happen? By the tens of millions, it can. And it is. But it doesn't happen with God. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. He's talking to the remnant. Beloved, today we are the remnant. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" You see, this is the confidence that we can have in our God. If I forget the circumstances that you're going through and your trials, I apologize for it. You have to chalk it up to my own weakness, my own limitations. It's not intentional. And if I forget to pray for you sometimes, I apologize for that. It is my fault. But the one that we serve never forgets us. And what an awesome, awesome thought that is. Every morning, the faithful child of God wakes up to God. And is there anything more wonderful than that? So be encouraged. That's what I've tried to do in the sermon this evening. Be encouraged as we consider our God. The certainty of our God in such an uncertain world. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and if that's the case, we want to give you the opportunity now to render your obedience to Jesus Christ. To enter into that saved relationship with Him. And it starts off by believing, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. As John called Him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Believe that with all your heart. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. All things are ready. Are you? If the answer is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.